City Current. Produced by Dakota Media Access. In-depth discussion with Bismarck and Mandan city officials. Watch on Government Access Channel 602 HD or tune in to Radio Access 102.5 FM. Always local, always current.
Welcome to a Bismarck edition of City Current. It's Wednesday, April 29th. I'm Mary Van Sickle. I'm here in the studios at Dakota Media Access, and joining me today from the city of Bismarck, or from her home, is Commissioner Nancy Guy. Welcome, Nancy.
Hi, thanks for having me again.
Well, we welcome you back. You're here to talk about the City Commission meeting last night. We'll go through some of those items really quickly here, and also talk about the preparations and updates from the City of Bismarck concerning the pandemic that we are all currently in right now. So Thanks again for coming. We'll talk about the consent agenda as we begin the program today. There was one item that was pulled from the consent agenda last night, and that had some a short discussion with the commissioners, and that had to do with the Patterson and the property downtown, the historic hotel that is going to be going through a large renovation very soon. And it had to do with a subordination agreement that the city has had with the Patterson for many, many years. Can you summarize basically what the results of that discussion were last night?
Yeah, this was real interesting. So a subordination agreement is an agreement that says we have a second or third mortgage on this property, and we understand that we're third in line to get paid if something happens and the first mortgage is defaulted. These are real typical agreements. However, the mayor did pull this agenda item because the bank contacted us and said that they did not have the lending amounts correct in their subordination agreement, but we should feel free to sign it and return it to them anyway. And we just felt that, you know, if we're going to sign a legal document, that everything in it should be correct. So we did not approve that agreement, and we'll consider it again when they can settle their numbers and get us a new document.
So you expect that this item will come back on your agenda in the next meeting or two?
Probably, okay. Yeah.
Sounds good. Other items on your consent agenda that were not pulled for discussion, one of them was a grant acceptance, a federal grant called the CARES Grant, CARES Act, and it has to do with the airport. The airport needed permission from the commission to accept the grant. That was an interesting process. These things we've been hearing about the CARES Act, this is significant for the airport.
It is, you know, I think it was our last meeting. Folks may remember that we did vote to defer rent or forgive rent or minimum payments from some of our concessions out at the airport, like the airlines and rental car companies and food providers and the like, because business out there has been so interrupted that, you know, they're having difficulty with cash flow. So boardings have been down dramatically, and it actually may take, you know, more than a year, maybe almost 2 years, for the airline industry to sort of return to the levels we've seen previously. And so the FAA has determined themselves what each airport should get to help with that. Mm-hmm. And the Bismarck Airport's share was just under $20.3 million. So that sounds like kind of a shocking amount, but if you think that, you know, you're gonna need some help with operations over the next 2 years, it's probably very realistic.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Also on your consent agenda last night was a Board of Adjustment appointment. Michael Marbach was reappointed to the Board of Adjustment. So congratulations to him. But we also wanted to talk about the fact that there is a vacancy. There is a remaining vacancy on the Board of Adjustment. These are one of many boards and committees that the city has, and always looking for good people to fill those positions. They're volunteer positions. And I think the Board of Adjustment is an interesting board. We do televise their meetings, so occasionally we are obviously watching them here and have a little bit of awareness about what they do. They meet on a monthly basis. And it's interesting because they are kind of the first place a person or a property owner, developer, whatever, is going to get a variance on an ordinance in the community. And it's always interesting to hear the discussions and see what happens. But there is a vacancy right now on that board, so we want to encourage anyone who's considering getting involved with the city and volunteering, this would be a good one to start with.
Yeah, let's see. The application is available on the city's website, or you can call the city administration office and they can get one to you. You can just fill out the application and return it to them by May 8th.
Okay.
And they'll go through the process with the mayor, and I expect probably at our May 12th meeting, we'll have, you know, somebody that we can vote on accepting. It is an interesting committee, and it would be kind of a fun one if you're interested in sort of testing the waters on state government or city government. Be an interesting one to serve on.
It is. It seems the subjects that they deal with are pretty varied. Again, mm-hmm. It's a once a month meeting, so not a lot of heavy lifting, but as with any of these boards or committees, I think people should expect that there is some homework. You have to study a little bit. You have to know what you're going to deal with before you walk into the meeting. So, yes.
Oh, and actually eligible applicants can either be residents of the city of Bismarck or residents of the ETA, the extraterritorial area outside of the city. So, you know, that's an opportunity for folks out in the ETA to participate in city government as well.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Thanks for bringing that up. And if you have any questions, you can also email them at planning@bismarcknd.gov. So Check that out, or get on the website and check that out as well. Also, on the consent agenda item was the historic preservation grant. Again, permission to accept a grant that's coming through for this. We've seen this discussion. Well, the Historic Preservation Committee, should back up a little bit and say that's a new committee that's been established by the city of Bismarck. This grant will be used to survey properties in the Highland Acres area. We've seen that also on the commission's agenda and heard discussions about Highland Acres, starting with that whole sidewalk issue and bringing in sidewalks. And then it came to this group that said, you know, we really want to know what we're dealing with before we move forward on some of this stuff. So the survey sounds very interesting. It's basically taking an assessment of all the properties within that area.
Yes, and you know, that's a pretty big undertaking. The Highland Acres residents started it on their own, and they had some volunteer, experienced volunteers working on it, and that sort of fell apart. And so then the Historic Preservation Committee was formed, and they came to the committee and asked for help. And I think it's a really terrific first project for the committee. So that's moving along, and they should be able to wrap up that survey. And then another portion of the grant is to send city staff to a national historic preservation meeting, conference, where they'll take some training, some formal training. So I think that's really valuable too, so that we have, you know, it helps the committee be more effective, and it helps our staff support them appropriately. So all good stuff.
Yeah. Do you have any idea when this survey may be starting? Will that pretty much pull the trigger on getting this going right away?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think it's going to be done by city staff, so they probably need to, the committee probably has to go through an RFP process to hire an outside firm to do it. I don't think it's terribly expensive. I'm sure it's a something that a local company can do. So it should, I would think if you have, I think that the survey would get done pretty quickly.
Yeah, well, we'll be talking about it again, I'm sure, as it moves forward and we have the results to talk about. The last item on the consent agenda that we wanted to talk about has to do with a very large project, street project, road project up in exit 161 on the interstate. This is something that we have talked about on City Current with Jason Timonic previously. This came up, this intersection has come up on the list, so to speak, for reconstruction, and we've seen a lot of congestion and certainly a tremendous amount of growth in the Northeast area, so this intersection is pretty loaded up. Why it was on the agenda last night, I think, is interesting because the commission was asked to agree to a reimbursement reimbursement of the DOT for design and engineering if the city would back out at some point of this project. Even though it's a DOT project and the funding will come primarily from the state or federal government, there's some peripheral parts of this reconstruction that the city will be responsible for. So I thought it was just interesting that this is part of the process. City has to agree that if at some point as this moves forward, if the city backs out of the project, they agree to reimburse the state for the design and engineering thus far. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Right, and that would be some portion of the design and engineering costs so far. It wouldn't be the entire amount. But I also think it's a good reminder to the city that if you have differences with the DOT on these projects, you need to stay at the table and continue to negotiate. You can't just, you know, stand up and say, well, you know, we're not going to participate and then walk away.
Yeah.
And there, I do want to say that there are going to be some opportunities for public input on the design of what the changes to this intersection. So folks should check out either the MPO, that's the Metropolitan Progress Organization website, or the North Dakota Department of Transportation website, and they should be able to find those public input opportunities.
Yeah, as this project moves forward, I would assume that there will be multiple opportunities for input and many options discussed and presented to the public about what this could look like. Again, this is a big project. It's going to take a while to get to the table. I'm not even quite clear on the timeline at this point in time. If this is next summer, that would probably be one of the earliest times we'd be seeing any changes up there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, big project. We'll talk about it again.
Oh, I'm sure.
Moving on to the regular agenda, last night started with some updates on the COVID-19 pandemic situation that we're all in, starting with Renee Mock, your public health director. Renee had a pretty comprehensive presentation about the timeline so far, what they've been doing, how they've been reacting, and even what they're going to be moving into in the future. You had some highlights, Commissioner Guy, you wanted to talk about from Renee Mock's presentation last night.
Yes. One of the things that the state of North Dakota has done a real outstanding job with is contact tracking or tracing. And that's when there's an infected person, the health department, the state health department then works with that person to look at where they've been and what they've been doing over the last couple of weeks so they can identify as many people as possible that they've come in contact with and then contact those people and work to test them and that kind of thing. So early on in this whole situation, Bismarck Burley Public Health was assisting the state with contact tracing all over the state. And that has become so successful as a network that North Dakota is the only state in the nation that has adequate contact tracing according to the CDC. So, you know, good job, North Dakota. And then also there were a couple of programs suggested by other city employees outside of public health, and public health took those ideas and ran with them. Both items are on their social media, so you can find them on Bismarck Burley Public Health's Facebook page. The first one is Mental Health Minute, and that's published, I think, once a week, but it's resources and awareness of difficulties people might be experiencing with their mental health as we're sort of cooped up and feeling maybe disconnected from friends and family and coworkers and the world at large. And the other is this Homebody Hero program. And that's ideas for families and individuals that are, you know, spending more than their usual amount of time at home, activities to kind of keep people engaged with each other and happy with each other. And that's another one that's kind of fun to check out. So lots of activities for kids and moms and dads and individuals. And the last thing is rapid response testing. The health department is able to very quickly put together a mass testing situation for a targeted outbreak. So for example, we've already done this testing with a nursing home in town that had a small outbreak there. We were able to go in and test everybody and then do the appropriate contact tracing. And then also another business in town that had the same issues. So they remain prepared and ready to spring into action when they need to help in that respect. So, you know, it's all really interesting. This is all stuff that goes on behind the scenes that we don't really think about.
It's a lot of work, and then they've been responding, as I recall from the presentation, responding to multiple requests and inquiries from the public, answering questions, fielding calls and emails. And they're still in place, and they remain in place for the time being.
Yep.
Also, along with Renee, co-lead on the Emergency Operations Center is Jason Timonik, Assistant City Administrator. And Jason gave an update last night, too, on the EOC. And Jason's report was, I think, mostly with the collaborations that they've experienced, the staff that's been involved, and some of the successes that they've realized and some of the workarounds and the benefits that are possibly coming out of this. I mean, I think we've all discovered some efficiencies in our work and some of the normal things that we were doing, we found better ways to do it. And I think that's hopefully a positive outcome. And Jason's presentation was very comprehensive and talked a lot about, again, the partners that you have in the community that the city has been working with.
Yes, one of the things that they've done a really good job with is continuing to educate the public and, you know, put themselves out there as a trusted source of information. We have a really good public information section at the EOC, and some of the folks that are working in that section don't usually do public information as their usual job. We have just found that they have a talent for it. Some of them have graphic backgrounds from hobbies or previous jobs. So we uncovered some hidden talents we didn't know were there. But right now their emphasis the last week or so, and certainly now going forward, is the smart restart idea and following guidelines that are coming from the governor's office and the State Department of Health and the CDC and those resources. The city services getting back to normal operations in the city county building may take a while because we want to sort of sit back and watch how this goes outside in the community. And if we find there's a real rebound in infections, we likely won't change our operations back to normal for a while. But there are some other constraints that other businesses in the community may also run into. And a big one is childcare, because the schools aren't open and they're not going to be open through the end of the school year. And then lots of summer programs for kids may be disrupted or not available. And daycares may not be functioning at normal levels for a while either. So businesses and certainly our city government may find that employees have to continue to work from home and work with their children sort of in the environment. So we'll just continue collaborating with community organizations on restarting different types of businesses according to guidelines that come down from the state and, react to good or bad results from that appropriately.
Yeah, a lot of uncertainty as we move forward. Also last night, an update from your, on the budget from Dimitri Chernak, your finance director, and Commissioner Marcourt, who chairs the finance, has the finance portfolio. That was a very interesting discussion. And again, very difficult to predict the future here. There is a lot of uncertainty. They talked about potential sales tax collections. What do they look like in the future? And other factors, other indicators, how is this going to affect not only the budget in 2021, but this year in 2020. And there were a couple of outcomes. A motion was made at the end of the presentation to pause. That was a word I heard a lot during the meeting or during this presentation was pause. Pause on the hiring of 24 full-time employees that have been identified as either vacant or new employees, whatever there. And also one-time initiatives to pause the purchase of one-time initiative equipment and whatnot in various budgets. And also some of the big special projects, the SIP projects that are going on as well, and identifying those that could be paused in the interim before, again, some of these indicators come in.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Dimitri wanted to make sure that we understood that so far our budget revenues and expenditures are on track and everything looks good. However, for example, property taxes, 90% of those for 2020 have already been collected. That was done by the county early in the year. But with items like sales tax and state aid and state distributions that are dependent on taxes at the state level, we don't know what those tax revenues are for about 60 days after they're collected, because there's that long of a lag between collection at the tax department and our receipt here at the city. And so we know that January and February were certainly on target, and that was, you know, what we were looking for, but we don't know what March is going to look like for till maybe June. So we thought it was prudent to put some things on hold and make sure that we can still afford to do them. So the full-time positions were either new positions or existing positions that were currently not filled. And the other projects, some have started, but they might be, for example, in the bid process. So when the bids come in, the committee can look at them project by project and decide if they should go forward. But I also think it's important to note that the total of all of these paused projects and full-time equivalent employees is about $3 million, which is a very small portion of our total budget. So another thing we wanted to consider was that putting the brakes on some of these didn't have a real adverse effect out in the community, because we hire local contractors and local vendors to do business with us. So we just think that it's prudent to move forward like this. And of course, this will all be a consideration as we start up our 2021 budget process as well.
Mm-hmm. And they did, Commissioner Marquardt stated that the budget committee will continue to meet and will be meeting on an ongoing basis now and reporting back at every commission meeting. So this will be interesting. Again, as the indicators come in, hopefully more surety will be there for the city as they establish the budget for next year. Also related to this was another discussion about alcohol license renewal process. This could be an extension of last commission meeting where it was discussed about the food and restaurant vendors in the community wanted a permission to sell alcohol along with to-go orders, which eventually was approved by the commission. But that process of license renewal, this is the time of year when that starts in May. Letters go out to the alcohol license holders in the city. And then I believe it's the end of July is the deadline to pay the fee for your annual license. So it was an interesting discussion. And again, based on a lot of uncertainty with numbers and what the impact has been to the alcohol license holders. Mm-hmm. What was the eventual, there was a motion made, I believe, in this area as well. What was that?
Right. So the motion that we passed was that we would put a moratorium on renewing these licenses until September 1st. The normal renewal date is June 1st. So we gave them a 90-day moratorium, and very soon here, I think either the first or second commission meeting in May, we'll have some survey results from all the liquor license holders. We're going to ask them, what is more helpful to you? Waiving your renewal fee entirely or prorating it for several months, giving you several months credit for the months that you were either your operations were disrupted or you had to be closed because of orders from the state. And we'll take a look at that and then also look at our budget and what effect that would have on the general fund and decide where to go from there. But at the very least, we wanted to give them some time to plan that payment and plan their cash flow as they restart their operations as well.
Okay, so the next meeting you anticipate there'll be some information and results from the survey and committee will come back again.
Yeah, I'd really like to give these business owners some certainty as to what they can expect with that fee. So I'd like us to get that taken care of in May.
Okay. Gabe Schell, your city engineer, gave an update last night on all the construction projects that we're going to be seeing this summer and are already seen in this city. He had a very interactive map that he demonstrated last night. It was very interesting. I believe we have some maps, some still photos of those maps, and that can be found on the website on the city of BismarckND.gov has a really robust area of GIS maps to look at. You can filter these maps down to lots of different ways you can get into street projects, light projects, sewer projects, and cook down that map the way you want to. And there's a plethora of projects going on this summer that it's kind of mind-boggling when you look at these maps to see all the different projects happening.
Yes, the two that really are probably going to be extremely noticeable to people are the 43rd Street project between Washington Street and State Street, or Highway 83. I believe the pavement is pretty much torn up now between just east of Washington Street intersection and Coleman Street. And at some point, it's going to be all torn up. So we ask people to be really patient, because the end result this fall is going to be really terrific, and it'll be much safer to travel on. The other one is the intersection of US 83 and Brookside. That's where the new Costco is going in, and we're working on the intersection, getting that prepared with turn lanes and traffic lights. So try and be patient, because again, when Costco opens up, I believe it's supposed to open this fall. When it opens up and that intersection is all finished, I think it's going to be a really wonderful addition to the community. So, and people are probably looking at all these construction workers and wondering, how safe are they during this pandemic? So the city engineer's office has worked with the construction companies to make sure that city workers that are interacting with these projects and the contractors' employees that are working on these projects are practicing some safety guidelines in order to, you know, continue social distancing and that kind of thing, or wearing masks where it's appropriate. Rest assured that they're not totally exempt, and we're thinking about their safety too. And finally, the city engineer wanted us to remind everybody to please be patient and drive carefully through these construction zones. We want to try and keep our construction workers' safety in mind. And again, the end product of these projects is really worth, I guess, putting up with some inconvenience.
That's so true. It is construction season.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt. And it is, you can see the effect up there already and on Highway 83 with 43rd Avenue and the Costco project going on. It's down to single lane in some areas, reduced speeds, lots of trucks, lots of heavy equipment moving around. So it really does require some patience, and certainly mm-hmm. a change for people who are used to that Highway 83 corridor going north. We're going to see probably some reduced speeds on a permanent basis up there, moving a little further north. So yes, patience, sure. Good word. Yeah, absolutely. And if people want to look at these maps, or the map that Gabe Schell was working on or demonstrating last night, bismarcknd.gov/streets, you can find the map. It's very interesting. Again, you can set up a lot of filters and look at areas, or you can look at types of projects. It's really I think it's kind of cool, but that's just me. Who doesn't like a good map, you know? So
Well, and it's got lots of pretty colors on it, too.
Yes, it does. It's very well done. So the last item we want to talk about on the agenda last night, Janelle Combs, your city attorney, brought forward to the commission discussion about public meetings and how the city has adjusted to public meetings, and specifically public hearings and allowing testimony and how that's changed. I know you've gotten a little bit of feedback.
Yeah, there were, especially at planning and zoning meetings, there was some frustration from members of the public that wanted to testify and participate, and they felt that that the options that were available were excluding some folks that were in vulnerable populations to the virus. City staff has done, I think, a really good job of coming up with lots of different ways to interact between the public and city government. You can comment via audio participation in commission meetings. You can send your comments in ahead of time in the U.S. mail or by email. You can actually, if you want to attend the meeting in person, you can call ahead and make arrangements, and we've got the room set up for social distancing, and we're not allowing more than 10 people in the room, but if we had more than that show up to testify, we've got a method for shuffling people in and out. So I think that we've done all that we can, and you know, this pandemic is going to go on for a long time. We may it may get worse again in the fall, and we may find ourselves in a more restrictive position again. So I just don't think that the city can stop doing business until it's over, because it's not going to be over for a long time. So we decided the direction we gave the attorney was to continue on the way we have been and try to be as sensitive as we can to people's ability to interface with us. And Commissioner Oban suggested that if people have ideas on how to communicate that we haven't thought of yet, they should contact city administration and tell us their thoughts, and we'll see if we can make that part of our menu of options.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. That's a good point. He said, if you have better ideas, we want to hear them. And I think
absolutely,
that, you know, a lot of this has been fairly consistent. I mean, your agendas are posted, your minutes are posted, we take the meeting and store it on our archive. We're replaying them on the channels. They're available on our web stream. So those things all continue. The only thing that's really seems to have tightened up again is mostly in that public hearing area, but you're taking the comments via audio, mail, email, and if people really do want to appear at the podium, that process is still in place. There's a screening point at the door you're going to have to go through, but essentially it's all still there. So it's,
right.
Again, be patient, right?
That's right.
Consistent message. So that kind of wraps up the meeting last night, the commission meeting. We always kind of have tried to wrap up our time together with what's going on in the city, and I think we've already covered a lot of that, but just to review, the city buildings are still closed to the public. Again, go to your website, go to your Facebook page, make a call. If you need something in particular, you can access the staff. They are still working behind those doors. Some staff are working at home, but the buildings are closed to the public at this point in time. But operations continue as normal. Garbage is being picked up. Your water is coming on when you turn the faucet on. Staff has adjusted their shifts a little differently to create some redundancy and protection for them. And you still have a lot of people working from home as well. So,
correct.
Those also remain in place. So we've covered a lot of that. And we just want to say, as many did last night at the meeting, that appreciation for all the city staff that are working very hard behind the scenes to keep things operating as normal. We have a couple other items before we go. We wanted to talk about your census data collection is still going on. If you haven't gotten your family counted in your residence, get online and get counted. That's very important for the city as funding programs move forward from the federal government, especially road projects, these kinds of things that we talk about, all depend upon numbers and population. We want to make sure everybody gets counted. So get your numbers in. Also want to talk about the election coming up. We have a primary election on June 9th. Very important. You mentioned earlier that you received your application in the mail just recently to vote.
I did. I think it was day before yesterday we received our applications for vote by mail, and we have already filled those out and returned them in the postage paid envelope that came with it. So those applications go to the county. And we'll be able to, you should receive your ballot within 10 days of sending your application in. So they would like you to do that as soon as possible so that they aren't deluged with ballots or applications all at once. You know, the election day isn't until June 9th, I believe, but I don't know about anyone else, but I find it really satisfying to fill that out now and send it in, and then I'm done.
Well, you don't want to wait, that's for sure. But I should mention too that Dakota Media Access is partnering with the League of Women Voters, mm-hmm. and we are conducting some candidate interviews in the next few days. Tomorrow, Thursday the 30th, we will be recording interviews with all the school board candidates. And there's 7 candidates vying for the positions there at the school board, and they're important. Those are important positions. We should be able to get those on in the next probably a week and a half. Those interviews will be out there. We'll put them on the archive on our website. They'll also be playing on the cable channel. Gives you a little insight. Each candidate will be given 8 minutes to talk about their position and the experience that they bring to the school board. We're also going to be conducting some candidate interviews for the 4 candidates for the Bismarck City Commission as well. So important, educate yourself. This is just mm-hmm. one way. Our interviews that we conduct, again, there'll be, we guess that the Bismarck Tribune will be doing some highlights on the candidates as well. Usually the chamber does a publication mm-hmm. on the candidates as well. So there is information out there that'll be provided soon. So get your ballot, get ready, and educate yourself, and then send it in. We want to see a good turnout in this primary.
So I think it's interesting that you're interviewing candidates this year, because in past years, it's been a roundtable discussion with the candidates.
Yes.
And so it's been more of a face-to-face interaction between them. But with our pandemic situation, I suppose you've had to interview them individually.
That's true. And the League of Women Voters, all volunteers have changed for this situation as well, and understood that was the best way to go. And mm-hmm. those interviews will be starting in the next couple of days. We'll get those all recorded and packaged up and delivered to the public very soon.
Very good. I'll look for that.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us today. Once again, we appreciate you being here.
Yes, this is kind of fun. I'll miss it when Jason Tomanek is done with his EOC duties and he is back in this seat.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to the next in a couple of weeks. I'm sure we'll see you again. So thank you again for joining us. We'll see you
You're
soon.
You're welcome.
All right.
You bet.
And thank you for joining us today on City Current.
For more information on what was discussed in this episode of City Current, visit bismarcknd.gov. or call 701-355-1300. If you have suggestions, comments, or issues you would like addressed in future episodes, contact us at info@freetv.org. This program airs on Government Access, Channel 2 and 602 in HD, or on Radio Access 102.5 FM. It's also available as a podcast on radioaccess.org and as a video viewing link at freetv.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.